Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
So it's great to be back. Who actually was here yesterday for the day? Oh, a few of you, so there's still a lot of newcomers. That's brilliant. Did anyone stay for the gig last night? How amazing. Did anyone say how many people got saved last night? 277. That's ridiculous, isn't that? Isn't that amazing? God is good, isn't he? So I'm hosting the venue, so I'd like to introduce the speaker, which is myself. Hey! And Tim. Hey! My name is Emma, this is Tim. And I might just have to kick some people out if they're too rowdy. So Tim and I are married. Should I say happily married? Are we happily married today?
I think so.
Yes, we are.
For today. We'll say yes for today.
We got my father-in-law, Tim's dad's in the house. So yes, we are. Hiya, Mark. So a little bit about us. If you're in my seminar yesterday, you know that I've done loads of different jobs. I've worked for the Queen. I've been a police officer. I've been in a band. I've worked for God TV. Lots of fantastic, exciting things. Tim's journey was going off to university, getting a HND in electronic engineering. Have you ever used that skill?
Not really.
No, not really, because he went out of university and ended up packing ice cream.
Yes.
How exciting is that? The good news is we got free ice cream, so that was really good. And I remember challenging Tim, saying, do you know what, Tim, you've got so many giftings. You're a drummer, you're a dancer, you can sing. Why don't you use those giftings for God? Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said yes. And so he auditioned to be a drummer in a band with NGM, with Ray and Nancy Gowdy down in Bristol. We got a hand up there. And so he went for this audition, came home. We're like, did you get the job? And he goes, no. And we're like, oh, sorry. And then he says, yeah, but I'm going to be a dancer in a dance band. And we're like, really? But it was exciting because I think that's what started our journey to where we are today. And it was brilliant. He was in a band called Refresh, and he's met some really good friends through that who have gone on to do other fantastic things. And we went through a journey because when I was a police officer, I had a major car crash where I was in a very little panda car, and there was a further assistant call, and we were doing 90 miles an hour through a red light, and we hit an articulated lorry head on, which is pretty scary. But God was good. I had to get cut out of the car. It took them 2 hours to cut me out of the car. And then it took 2 years in and out of rehabs, hospitals for rehabilitation. And that's really when you're put to the test as a Christian. Do you really have faith that God's got you? Do you really believe in miracles? Do you believe you've still got a future? You've still got potential, whatever happens, if there's a miracle or if there's not a miracle. And so we journeyed through that. And Tim was asked to stay on in NGM for the foreseeable future. And we had to make that decision. What do we do? And so I just said to Tim, do you know what? Let's have a look outside. And he'd worked with the Worldwide Message Tribe at various gigs. And Mark Pennells at that time had said to him, if you ever need a job, give me a call. So I'm like, Tim, give him a call. And they jumped at it and they offered Tim a job. And then they said, what about this girlfriend of yours? Can she sing? Can she dance? What can she do? And they ended up offering me a job. I went in the back door. They paid for one and got me for free. Like bog-offs, don't
off.
We? And so I ended up being on the school's team as well, and that was our journey with the Worldwide Message Tribe. And it was pretty epic. But one thing that I shared yesterday that I forgot to share now is that on that journey, when we moved up to Manchester and I got auditioned and we were looking at houses, I obviously had this chronic back disorder, which retired me from the police. And we met a guy looking at a house. He had faith that God could heal my back. He prayed for me in the middle of the road, not even on the street, on the side. And from that moment onwards, I was healed to do the job that God intended me to do. So literally within months, I'm on the road traveling. My first gig actually was at Six Flags.
Atlanta
yeah. Fest. And it was in front of, I don't know, 10,000. Well, it might have been 25,000 people. That was my first gig. It was really rabbit in headlights. Didn't know what I was doing. It's quite scary. I lost 3 toenails as well because my trainers were too small. But I thought I'd share that with you. Okay, enough on that. So that's kind of our history to where we are today. But what we want to talk about today is creative mission. You know, if we are Christians, we want to share our faith, don't we? Whether that is with our neighbour, whether that's with people in church, whether that's on big stages, we all get given different platforms. And we want to talk about creative mission because this is how the Message Trust started. And we got some beautiful photos to share with you. If Andy was here, he would have taken us all the way back to 1988, where he did an event and someone came and spoke to him, gave him fantastic scripture, which just spearheaded that heart of passion for evangelism for him. But these beautiful guys, you've got Mark Pennells, Zark Porter and Andy Hawthorne, very good friends of ours. So Mark and Zark are like best mates and they're messing around with music. They want to be big in the world. They had loads of carrots dangled, record deals dangled, but nothing really came through. And if you know anything about the music business, it's cutthroat, it's competitive, it's really hard. And they just got really frustrated and it got to the point where they're like, do you know what? We're Christians, we want to share our faith and we just want to do it using our music. Give us an open door into a school and we will do it. We don't need to get paid, let's just do it. The heart was birthed out of that rejection from the mainstream. And Andy was their friend, and he got alongside them. He had his own business. He was selling those like lovely piano ties and braces and all that sort of stuff. And he said, do you know what, me and my brother, we'll get behind you. We'll give you some money. Here's a car. Here's your first year's salary. Get into schools. And that's where it was birthed. And as you know Andy, if you know him, he can't just sit back and watch. So when it came to the gigs, he started preaching, he started doing the altar call, and it didn't stop there because then he wanted to be a rapper. And he was known as the heavy foot because he literally bundled into people, trod on everybody's foot, rah, 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 cookie monster. And who knows, if you plead with him, you might even get him on stage tonight. Just go up to him and say, dude, are you getting up tonight? Who knows? So that's how it started. And then it grew, and at this point, like, it was all about volunteers. You might recognize the girl in the white shirt at the top. That's Beth Redman, okay, Matt Redman's wife. They're here today. So she was a singer.
She's doing a seminar later as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, go to her seminar. And I think she's speaking maybe even main stage. So she was one of the singers. You've got loads of dancers there. Elaine was one of the singers. There was a girl called Sunny. And then Cameron Dante came into the mix. Does anyone remember the band Bizarre Inc? I'm going to get you, baby. I'm going to get you, yes. I'm not a singer, really. Anyway, one person did. So he was known in the world for being this great rapper in a secular band. And what was happening, he was going to Zark Porter's recording studio, recording his music, and Zark was telling him about Jesus. And eventually, Cameron's like, okay, hands up. I want to become a Christian now. And it was fantastic. And they really invested into him. And then they gave him a position in the Worldwide Message Tribe. Check out this picture. Now, if Michelle Hawthorne was here, she would get him very excited because she really fancied Andy in those green trousers, those PVC trousers. She asked me the other day, have you still got them? I just really want to see Andy in them again. But we haven't got them anymore. And that's me at the back with the silly plaits. And that's Tim with, looks like his leg's broken, doesn't it, really, coming out the side. So the tribe evolved. It was 1997 that Tim and I joined. So they'd already been going for like 5 years. So it was great. We jumped in at its heyday. We had a UK recording contract, an American recording contract, so we were just like on that tour bus living the high life. It was fantastic. We thought we'd show you a little video. Would you like to see some old school vibes? Yeah, let's check this out. It is really embarrassing. I'm very dated. Come on. Come
prophets pour scorn on all our labels, but trembles when we pray.
How cool was that? So dated, hey? So out of date. But you can understand why we are so enthusiastic at the message about the gospel, because Andy is our role model and he has never lost that vision, that passion, that enthusiasm. And you cannot be in the message without getting excited about God. And I've just so enjoyed my 20 years that we've had here. So 2000 was a big change, because this was the time... Well, what we had with the Worldwide Mission Tribe, people would come in and go out like literally every 6 months. Andy would call a meeting. We're like, oh, who's leaving now? And then it's like, who's joining now? So we're like, it was always up and down and all over the place. And then 2000, Andy basically said, right, you know, some really big players are leaving. Cameron's leaving, et cetera, et cetera. We're just going to fold the band. We're just going to continue with no music. And we're like, what? This whole ministry was based on using music, that universal language, to reach young people in England and across the world. And so I'll cut a long story short. We had the tribe line up, George, Quinn, myself and Tim, and we stayed together right through till the end, which was about 5 years. In that time, we then created a lovely girl band, Blush. That was Lucy West, Lindsay West's wife there. She's coming today. Hope was singing yesterday with Tim Hughes. And Lolly was here yesterday, and their lineup changed. And then you probably know the band LZ7. So when we did eventually finish the tribe, Linz wanted to continue. So he set up Light Ministries, and LZ7 was under the Message banner, but they got so big, we released them, and they became an associate ministry of us. So we're very close. We work with each other, but they are in their own entity. And then suddenly we're creating different forms and ways of reaching people. And In Your Face Theatre Company, if you've ever seen them perform, they will blow your mind. They celebrated their 20 years a little while ago. They were independent for the first sort of 10 years or so, and then we brought them under the Message. Sadly, they have broken down, like, or they finished, should I say, came to an end of their ministry this last year. And then suddenly we're doing Message Creative year out. So we've got the Message Academy, which is a year out with us at the Message. If you know nothing about that, do have a chat with anyone from the Message or myself. We have a year out program for 18 to 25 year olds. And the beautiful thing about that is it's broken into three different areas. One is investing into a young person, biblical truths. The second term is teaching them about how to practically do mission and getting them to write their own lesson plans for schools, for prisons, for communities, doing placements. And then in the third term, we actually throw them out in the deep end. They get a trip out to South Africa doing mission with Message South Africa, but they also go into the schools and prisons here in England. So if you've got know anyone of that age, do sign them up. But 1224 is a great example of three people who came into the Message through that year out program, and Tim being head of creative ministries, he put them together as a band. And if you know anything about 1224, they are phenomenal. They performed last night. Are they performing tonight? Oh, they performed this morning. Brilliant. So you've seen them already. But we've got other success stories like Brightline as well, who are in the house. Brightline. So it's just brilliant way through Academy. We can find people, invest into people, find out their heart, and then we can hopefully let them go on a journey with us. There they are, the beautiful Brightline. And so we've got a whole mixture of different musical styles in bands that do mission work. So we've got Vital Signs that you would have seen over the weekend, which is hip hop, you know, backgrounds of gangsterism and hardcore stories of drug dealers and stuff and how God has changed their lives. We've also got Soulbox. I think we've got Johnny in the house. Is he in the house still? Has he gone? Oh, he gave up. Never mind. So Soulbox have got that soul funk. They've got the beatbox element. We've got Amongst Walls, who are a rock band. And you would have seen them if you were here yesterday. A lot of the bands are performing tonight. And so that's what we've got at the moment at the Message Trust. We've got loads of different creative teams that can be used in so many different formats, whether it's a church youth group, whether it's a school assembly, schools lessons, prisons, community action through Eden Project. And that is how the Message was birthed and where we are up to today. Give a round of applause for Tim Owen.
Thanks, right. So there you go, a potted history for you of what's been going on here. And it's been, you know, nothing short of a crazy ride. But it is amazing. It never ceases to amaze me what God can do with just an ordinary bunch of people. Do you know what I mean? The photos, the early photos that are quite hilarious of three guys, Andy, Mark and Zark, just three mates who said, right, we're going to have a go at reaching the lost and doing some music. And that's still, you know, a turn of phrase that Andy uses now. We're a bunch of mates on a mission. We're having a go. That's often used. And that's still very true. And that, for me, is one of the attractive things that first drew us to move here and join the message, was the fact that these were a bunch of guys who were genuinely committed to preaching the gospel through music. And it's still something, you know, 20 years on, we celebrate our 20 years of working at the message. And this is still something which is utterly at the core of what we do, reaching people. And the other amazing thing, as you've seen through all the lovely photos and the dodgy old performances, is one of the things I love is that's endearing about the message is that we try not to take ourselves too seriously. Because we know we're not the best necessarily at what we do, but as I said, we're having a go. And it's one of the pleasures that is working around the message with all the current mission teams. We try and generate this culture of, you know what, you know, we may not be the best singers, the best dancers, the best musicians, but it doesn't matter because it's not about that. It's about the fact that we're out there, we're using what we have been given, we're developing it as best we can, and we're using it to reach the lost. But what is creative mission? This seminar is entitled How to Keep on the Edge of Creative Mission. What is creative mission? Well, simply, this doesn't just have to do with music. You can be doing creative mission without music. It's not a problem. We have a creative God, right? Yeah, would you agree? These are a few slides that I pulled off one of the talks I do with our Message Academy students, where I just went to town on looking at some of the most creative images on Google Images. And there's some crazy stuff there, right? I love the Iron Man iron and the humour that's in that. But, you know, who knew that little eight-year-old kid could spin around on his head without his hands, just balancing on his head, spinning around. And, you know, waves always, you know, amaze me in this whirlpool galaxy and someone making a butterfly out of an apple. It's nuts, isn't it? You can't deny that we serve a creative God, because ultimately all that came from him, right? And we see it unfolding in Genesis, don't we? So creativity, we've got a creative God. Creative evangelism, that's what our DNA is at the message. We're not a bunch of bands and musicians who are trying to find the limelight. We're a bunch of people who are using our gifts to reach the lost. That's a very distinctive difference. We are not Christian bands who are trying to become bands alongside every other band. We've got lots of mates who are doing, who are working in the music industry, who are Christians, and it's awesome, and we love it, and we support them. But the message DNA is not that. You will never find us chasing down record deals, or chasing after record companies, or the industry, or trying to get that. That may come. And years ago, you know, in the history, in the 90s, it did come. A record company from America, Warner Brothers, got very excited about some of the early music and decided to sign us. We got a record deal, and as you heard from Emma, it was quite bizarre for us as a couple, because we got married in the April, and by June we were on a tour bus in America touring around doing these festivals of tens of thousands of people, as Emma heard, as Emma said earlier, a bit like a rabbit in the headlights. That was kind of our first months of marriage. Not recommended, by the way. I don't recommend you do that. It was amazing, but it was just, you know, crazy. But that's not what we're going to chase, because the kind of amazing paradox of our work was that was one level. So June, July, August, we were in America doing huge festivals. I remember walking into the Warner Brothers Record Company office, and they had all our posters lining the corridors. They gave us a standing ovation as we walked in. We were kind of like, what is this? We're just like normal people from Manchester. And these guys are going nuts. And we walked in and, you know, oh, you guys are awesome. And you know, it was very nice. But it was just bizarre. And then we came back from that, September, Monday morning, up in Ramsbottom doing a school. Where no one gives a stuff who you are. And with the fact that you've just been on stage in front of tens of thousands of people, they're just like, who are those weirdos? You saw my hair on that early video, that checkerboard. What would you think if that guy walked into your school? Anyway, poor kids. But that was kind of real bizarre kind of extremes of our work. But it's something that, like I said, it's not something that we're going to ever focus on. We're going to focus on reaching the lost. And if God wants to get some record company interested in our music with the purpose that it can then be available to more people, great. We'll take distribution all day. Not a problem. We'll happily have our songs played on the radio if someone picks them up. Great, because then more people get to hear about the good news of Jesus. But we're going to go and scout, you know, sit outside radio stations and constantly send them our music and go, oh, please play us, please play us. No, not going to do that. If our God is way bigger than the head of Radio 1, our God's way bigger than the head of the recording industry. If he wants us on these platforms, he'll put us there. Not a problem. It's so not a problem for him. It's such a thing. It frustrates me sometimes because it's in our celebrity X Factor culture. It's something that we so chase after. We so want to get the likes on the YouTube. We so want to get the plays on this channel. We so want to get people, you know, and who can blame us, to be honest with you, because we are inundated with celebrity culture. It's just, it runs through us, unfortunately. But I'm passionate about seeing a different group of people, a group of people who have the gospel running through their veins and a passion for the lost running through their veins, who don't give a stuff about that. I don't know if any of you remember Pete Gregg, thing called The Vision. I think it was back in the 90s, but he felt God speak to him and he gave him this incredible vision. If you don't know what it is, I'd encourage you to go and Google it. He talked about an army of young people. It was based on Ezekiel passage, and an army of young people who didn't care what popular culture thought of them, who were happy to eat caviar or crusts, I think was one of the lines. Don't care, you know. And there was a similar analogy applied to media and you know, the pop industry. Go and read it. But that's very much where my heart is. That's what I want to see. So it's one of the things that we will always do. But why do we do it? Well, firstly, it's quite simple because the big pointing finger says it all. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. It's not rocket science here. Jesus said go, so we go. So that's what we're doing. This is why we do it. The other reason is because you look at popular culture today. My son lives on YouTube. He's 13 years old. Many young people do. They're going from school. Back in my day, we had three channels on the TV. You go home and you watch ITV, BBC One, or BBC Two. That's it. Showing my age now. But YouTube, I actually can remember black and white TV as well. Oh dear, what have I just pulled out? Speaking of technology, there you go, I scared it, didn't I? Anyway, it's not a problem. We'll carry on. So, do you want to see if Chinny's around? Oh, there you go, Chris will help out. Thanks, Chris. Chris is our IT legend from The Message. Give Chris a little round of applause as he demonstrates his incredible skills. Wait for it. He's just going to put his hands on the laptop and it'll all come back in, you see. That's what our IT guys do. They're just amazing like that. Anyway, it's all we do. Is that right? There you go. See? Anointing or what? Anyway, so there's a war on. Just checking my time that we're going to keep sharp because we've got to get you guys finished in time for moving to another seminar. But yeah, young people today, headphones, it's a common sight, isn't it? Headphones on, and that is for my son and for a lot of young people that we work with day in, day out. Music, video, it's a massive part of culture. The problem with that is that there is a lot of unhealthy messages coming through those mediums of media. So there's a lot of lyrics that are coming through songs. There's a lot of visual images coming through YouTube in pop videos. Have you seen music videos recently? Have you heard the war, you know, trying to get censorship on them? It's, you know, it's crazy. Our young people are under attack. Carl often talks about being in the battle. We are. It's a reality. It's not hyper-spiritual. It's not, over-spiritualizing things. It is a reality. And our young people are under attack. And me and all the guys involved in mission, are saying, not on my watch. We are called, the Bible says, to be watchmen on the walls. We are watchmen for our generation. That's how I see it. I often talk to the guys as being, we are, if you like, Carl also likes this terminology as well, the SAS kind of crack people, you know, in terms of having a specific remit and having to go above and beyond what the norm might be in order to get the job done. And so, you know, the guys and the missions department, all our teams are called to a high standard. And, you know, for they all know, we say, you know, if that's not you, that's fine. It's not a problem. If that's not what you're called to, that's fine. But if you're called, then it is an extra high standard. It's not a standard we put on them in terms of, oh, well, you know, you've got to get up to some expectation that Andy has for you. But it's just, we recognize we're in a battle. And sometimes you need to take extreme measures in extreme circumstances. And this is happening day in, day out. Let me just show you some of the lyrics that are... These, I just got some...
Oh. Nope, sit back on.
I'm just going to stay away from the projector. See, I haven't got the anointing. so I'm just going to run through some slides of lyrics that I got off Google Images from some of the songs that are currently in the top, well, they were a week ago, I think, in the top 10 or top 20 or so singles out there. I won't apologise for the little asterisks, because that's... Oh, my days. What's all that about? Something about that lead, isn't it? Or maybe it's just my presence. Anyway, you get the point. If it comes back up, great stuff. But the point is, there are explicit lyrics in a lot of songs these days. There is a graph on there at some point, which will pop up, where there's been a study at how the mention of sex in songs, in pop songs, there you go, has increased over the years. Yeah, if you could just, one at a time, that's fine. So Katy Perry, again. This is just, slowly, please.
Sorry,
thank you. It's all right. No, this is just the norm. I'm not, you know, if we were sat here with a bunch of teenagers that we see in high schools all the time, they'd be like, what's the problem for some of this? But also, we're in classrooms regularly where we put up lyrics like this sometimes, and kids go, oh, I didn't realise it said that. And this is Ed Sheeran. You might be saying, oh, you can't get on Ed Sheeran's case. He's nice. And he's got great songs, and I like Ed Sheeran. And I'm not getting at Ed Sheeran as an artist. But there's no expletives in this. But the content is not what we really want to be sending the message to our young people, that it is all about the shape of your body. It is all about the external appearance, because it just reinforces what culture is saying. It reinforces kids who aren't happy with the way they look, and they're not happy enough with the way they look, they start to maybe harm themselves, or someone's telling them they're not great. Suicide is far too talked about amongst teenagers these days. Way too much. We experienced it, you know, with our son in school, bullying, all these terms that weren't perhaps so in use 10, 20 years ago, and now just part of normal talk. Self-harm, suicide, it's very normal talk. It's not right. It shouldn't be. This song is particularly explicit. Again, not expletives per se, but the content is explicit. And these are a few images from a lyric video for that song. Now, I didn't want to play the lyric video because it's not helpful, because it's just gross. And I wouldn't suggest you go and look at it. But these are a few images, and these are the gentle images from this music video. And my five-year-old picks up catchy little hooks like that. We can get in the car and the radio will just be on from maybe, you know, we've had it on. And all it takes is one line of a song and she'll repeat it. That's how powerful it is. And so there is a war on for our young people and for their minds. And that is a massive part of why we do what we do. And that is a massive reason for why I'm always on the case of our bands. I'm saying, what are you saying? What are you saying in your songs? What are the lyrics saying? We can't afford to write a song that says nothing. Because the Bible talks about to whom much is given, much is required. I feel like we've been given a lot. just because we're in this country at this time with all our resources, and, you know, we are the rich of the world. You know, even the poorest in our country are rich compared to a lot of the rest of the world. And so I feel like we've been given much. We, as the message, have been given much. We have our own recording studios and rehearsal facilities. That's unheard of. By the way, it's not because we've got loads of money. It's because a businessman who got behind this vision was like, I want to give money to that. Yes, I want to build you a state-of-the-art place so that you can make this stuff so that kids can hear it and then become Christians. So we have that, but that's a massive privilege and a massive honour. And I'm always on the guy's case and saying, look, you know, you've got this. We need to then deliver and make sure that what we're saying in our music and in our shows when we do concerts is, you know, contrary to what the other message that they're hearing. Why music and creative arts? Obviously, music is huge. It's a universal language which crosses the boundaries of language, culture, race, belief, and so therefore is one of the most powerful tools we have as Christians to communicate the gospel. Like I said earlier, it's not just about music, but music is something that historically the message has had in its blood, and so that's what we use. We're not exclusively music, creative arts. We've used dance, as you saw earlier. We've used theatre companies. We'll use whatever. We don't care. If you look in scripture, God uses a donkey. Well, you know, we don't care as long as we get in front of the lost. But we feel like our DNA is creative arts. It's music. It's what we do well, we think. So that's why we're keeping on doing it. And all we are doing, this is at the centre of what we do. If my teams in the department haven't got a passion for that, the book, as you heard 1224's song this morning, if you haven't got a passion for that, then you're not going to do great working for the message, because that's our standard. That's our content. It's not a great idea that I've had. We're not great life coaches. We haven't got good, you know, words. We've got that. And that stood the test of time. I make mistakes. I get it wrong. That doesn't. Because it's God's inspired word. That's our basis. Yeah. So the message hasn't changed since that was written. Our message is no different. We're not watering it down. We're not, you know, adding to it. That's just it. It's the same. It's just the packaging.
Brilliant. Because the truth will set you free, hey? Yeah, we agree with that. And, you know, we can play our part, but at the end of the day, it's God who saves and God who sets us free. And we have got different packages, and Tim just mentioned dance, and we have to apologise. We actually lost this whole seminar yesterday, so Tim's had to re-put it in, and we missed a slide, and that was square one. I know Shola's in the house. And we did have a dance crew, which was fantastic, and it was brilliant. And it's great that Shola's still with us, working with Academy, but you would have seen last night our dancers that he's invested into, and they are just phenomenal, you know, and that's because they've worked through the message to us. And that's part of another thing that we do, which is genetic sessions. So we're always trying to think, how do we repackage it? How do we reach people? And how do we actually disciple people by seeing them day in, day out? So genetic sessions is where we use the skills of the bands, like the drummers, the guitarists, the pop vocalists, and then we put sessions on in different areas in Manchester, and we actually invite the kids that we meet in school to come and meet with us every single Wednesday night, and they learn these skills, but in a safe environment with huge role models, fantastic role models, who are saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And we have some brilliant stories where kids have come to faith and gone from being a school kid, not knowing Christ, coming to genetic sessions because they've had band in their school, coming to faith, and then going on to Message Academy, and then working for the Message Trust right now. And that is beautiful, isn't it? Journeying with people and actually seeing the fruit of all that later on. But we are packaging it in all sorts of ways. So how are we going to reach young people? So we've got some new teams over the last 5 years as well. One of them is Respect Me, that I head up. Forgive me if you saw this yesterday, but for those of you who haven't, check this out. Is it not? Video?
No.
Oh, it's just a picture. You didn't put the video in. Oh, I'll have to have an argument later, won't we? No, I'm only joking. Oh, it's coming. Oh, no, it's not. That's the other one. Okay, leave that one for now. So you put John in, didn't put mine in. Okay, it's fine. So in a nutshell, Respect Me, some of you may know about Respect Me, but we are passionate about equipping and informing young people about their identity. It is all about identity. And we will use PSHE topics to get into schools. We go in through a different door, not the religious education door. It's a door that's open. It's a door that's financed for the schools. And basically, most schools, they'll go up to a geography teacher and say, can you teach on sex next week? And they're like, don't want to do that. So if I can stand up and say, look, we can do this for you, then that's great. And we have five age appropriate lessons for the five major school years. So we go in year seven, we do self-esteem, because that is the foundation for every other lesson. We always come back to who you are in God's eyes. Always do it from a Christian perspective. Year eight, we look at bullying. Year nine, we look at sex and relationships. Year 10, we look at positive relationships and sexting. Year 11, we look at abuse, and we look at more at self-harm, eating disorders, alcoholism, and issues like that, and suicide, all that crazy stuff. And then we've got a sixth form package where we look at consent, pornography. We've got a new lesson on online safety. And so we're using these topics that schools have to teach the schools, a lot of them becoming compulsory now, but we got that open door and we were able to do it from a Christian perspective, which is just brilliant. And when we can go in with multiple teams, and you've got a dance crew and you've got a band and you've got Respect Me, and the kids are hearing the gospel, they're hearing scripture, they're hearing faith-filled stories, testimonies where God has helped someone through a tragic situation, but their faith has brought them through it. Kids are like, whoa, what's going on here? And you put the gig on, 400 kids respond, introduce them to genetic sessions. It's a beautiful story, yeah? More recently, we've got a guy called John Williams. He was on our fundraising team, but you'll hear his story here. This is probably the best way to explain it.
State. And between the age of 3 and 5, I had to have 5 operations.
Sorry, we're having a few technical problems. Let's try. Yay! Thank you, Jesus.
They say I was born 8 weeks premature, and I was born with a cerebral palsy. I got told by the doctors I wouldn't walk, talk. I was taken care of by the state. And between the age of 3 and 5, I had to have 5 operations. Took my first steps when I was about 5 and a half, and then had to have intense speech and physiotherapy for about 5 or 6 years. The first time I noticed my disability really was when I went to high school. I felt like I was a bit of a target on the back. It was quite intense with some of the stuff that I was being called. I looked in the mirror, I had to ask myself the question, do you believe what people say about you? Do you believe the names you've been called? Or do you believe what God says about you? And I started to think differently, going, right, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? Obviously, I got told I wouldn't walk, I wouldn't talk, I wouldn't have any kind of normal thing. But I started to dream, I want to be married, I want to have a career, I wanted kids. Having a disability like I've got, you kind of think people would look at that and not at me as a person. And Stacey will obviously marry me because of my disability, she married me because of me as a person. And I've been really fortunate and blessed to have 2 children, Samuel and Esther. When I got to my 30s, I started to think completely different, not of, oh, John's got a disability, but what can I do about, how can I impact other people with disabilities? And it got to the point where I actually was at a place where I think my disability, I was born with it for a reason and a purpose, and that was to reach out to other people with actual disabilities. my passion is reaching people seen and unseen disabilities with the gospel. That's why I'm starting Enable. Find out more today how you can partner with Enable.
Brilliant. And if you see John, have a cheeky chat with him. I'm sure he'd love to share what's going on in his neck of the wood. And when you look at the band, you think, well, it's easy with the band. They've got the music. They can really share their faith. They can introduce you to take you to a concert. And at the concert, because it's out of school hours, they can preach the gospel. How does that work with Respect Me and Enable? And we have to trust God, because we're not always going to see the results. We're going to be going in, doing these lessons, working alongside these kids, seeing them every year. And sometimes we do get those fantastic stories where kids hand in suicide notes or razor blades or ask us to become Christians. It's been beautiful praying with kids in school. Hi, Dina. And that's great. But do you know what? There's a lot of unseen fruit. And the very first story I heard, I'd actually been asked to go to speak at a ladies group, and I turned up and it was all these old women. No disrespect, I love old women. But I'm like kind of thinking, why am I here? Because my ministry is to young people. Do they really want to hear about it? Of course they wanted to hear about it. We all want to hear about what God's doing, don't we? And anyway, I did this talk. It was very nice. I went away. And it was at the end of the talk, this lady came up to me. And she goes, Emma, I was too shy to say it in front of everybody, but it's amazing that you're here. And I said, why is it amazing? She goes, well, I'm a maths tutor. So she was a lady probably in her 60s. And she said, only yesterday I had this girl come and talk to me, and we were meant to do a maths lesson, and she said to me, can we not do maths today? Can we just have a chat? And this lady was like, oh my goodness, how do I talk to like this 14-year-old girl? What does she want to talk about? So she said, what do you want to talk about? She goes, well, can we talk about sex? And she's like, oh my goodness, I don't know what to say. How can I help you? She goes, why do you want to talk about it? She goes, well, you know what? I just feel pressure from my boyfriend. I'm 14 and he wants to have sex and I don't feel ready yet. My girlfriends have been pressurized by their boyfriends. They're all up for doing it. But do you know what? I realize that the guys don't actually love us. They just want to have sex with us. There's no relationship there. And I just feel like it's going to really hurt me and hurt my friends. And I want to encourage my friends not to do it and to wait. And she goes, why do you want to wait? She goes, well, I've recognized that I'm valuable. I've recognized that I'm priceless. I've recognized that I'm worth something, that I deserve a relationship. I deserve someone to value me and to love me and to accept me. And so this lady, this maths teacher, was like, well, is this a question? Because it seems like you've got the answer. And how do you know all this stuff? She goes, well, these two ladies came into my school called Respect Me, and they were telling us how amazing we were in God's eyes and that we should wait until the right time. And it blew my mind. I would never have heard that story if I hadn't been in that situation. That lady shared it with me. And that just encouraged me that actually, one, we're equipping girls to make great choices for themselves, girls and guys. But two, they're hearing why. They're hearing that they're valued and accepted and loved by God. And that just blew my mind. And these are the stories. We're not going to hear these stories. It's going to be on heaven's door when we come in. Hopefully God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But we will see these people in heaven. Oh my gosh, how exciting will that be, yeah? And so we trust God in all these different ways. And I'm excited. I can speak all day. I'll hand over to Tim.
Great. So we're coming to the end now. So just wrapping up, why do we go to schools? If you look at, there's just some Bible verses there linking the fact that Jesus went. He didn't just sit around and wait for people to come to him. He went to the synagogue, went to where the people were. So we're simply going. You can see, how do we get into schools? How do we get in front of people? Often these are key issues that schools particularly are wanting us to teach on or to tackle with young people. But as Emma said, the gospel is always central to how we tackle these things. We're never going to do a lesson on choice and consequence that doesn't involve us sharing the gospel. In the same way, Respect Me, never going to do a lesson on sex and relationships that doesn't involve sharing the gospel. If we haven't done that, we haven't done our job. because there are lots of life coaches out there on YouTube, right? TED Talks, yeah, loads. Great, go listen to them. But they don't have the power of the gospel. I can't change a young kid's life who is self-harming. I can't do that. I can give them advice. I can show them proximity by showing them love, being with them. But I can't change their life. Only Jesus can do that. So that's fundamental to our mission work, and that cannot change. And to be honest with you, I don't think it will. With Andy leading this place, it's never going to change, which is great, because I want to be here. That's why I'm still here after 20 years. These are the core values of Creative Mission. Passion for the lost. I often say to the teams, if you haven't got a passion for the lost, because I'll be honest with you, when I started this work, I didn't particularly have a passion for the lost. So I was told, ask God, he'll give you a passion for the lost. You know what? He did. I now am utterly moved and compelled to get out of bed in the morning because I care about the fact that there are young people all over this nation that are being lied to. They're sold lied, and they are actually literally dying as a result of those lies. That's not good enough. Not on my watch. And how do you get a passion for the lost? You spend more time with God. The more time you spend with God, not only do you realize how much he loves you and how valuable you are, but you realize the same for other people, and that propels you into mission. Now, we've got a big plan for the future. This is what we currently have, 6 teams in 2017. By 2020, we're looking for 10 teams. We just want to take over the world, basically. That's the short way of saying it. We're starting in Manchester, and we're going currently to these places, doing hire. Hire is basically the name for our mission. And so if you hear about hire happening anywhere near you, please jump in and get involved. If it's not happening near you, please get in touch with us. We were a Manchester movement. We're now a global movement. That's not because we're amazing or, you know, we're taking over the world. It's because God is doing that. Like I said, with the record deals and all that stuff, he just does that. We haven't chased Cape Town to say, oh, can we please come and do message in Cape Town because it's sunny. That's not happened. They've come to us because that God's made that connection for us. Same with Germany, with Sven. You know, those guys have just come over. Those guys have got a similar heart. It's a connection that God's made. And that's happening time and time again. So that's where the world domination comes from. It's not from our agenda. It's God doing stuff. And that's who we are. And that's who we'll always be. And thank you guys for listening. We have got, you know, a couple of minutes left for any quick questions. If not, we are around all day. Please come and find us. And you might see something special tonight if you want to stick around till 10 o'clock. We'd love you to, please. Thanks for listening.
Do we have any questions? It's not often we get Tim Owen on the microphone. Any questions?
Depends where you are.
If there's no questions, maybe we did a good job. Oh, there we go.
Do you have a favourite band, Tim?
Oh, Mission Team, as in one of ours. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Did you put him up to that? Yeah, right. I don't have a favourite band, no.
Yeah, the Tribe was our favourite band.
Of course, The Tribe. No, I just count it an utter privilege. I love the fact that we have such diversity. That's what I love. So I love, because I love hip-hop. I love jazz. We haven't got a jazz band yet. But I love Amongst Wolves. I love that pop punk. I love them all, to be honest with you. But that's what I love, is the diversity. The fact that I have such diverse musical tastes. And a song or music can speak to me of a particular genre. And so that's why we do the music. Because, we understand the power of it and the connection that it brings and the opportunity it gives us, you know, to plant some gospel seeds. So,
and also it's good because it fits in with culture. So, like, Amongst Wolves' focus is the Welsh schools, and a lot of the Welsh schools like rock. That would be their favourite genre of music, so it works really well. It's not that the other bands can't go there, but they will just fit in and connect in a way that maybe others won't. Oh, question over there. Fresh.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's interesting as well, isn't it? Because actually, we haven't changed anything in the last 20 years. really. It's like I said, same message, just different packaging. How do we change the packaging? We look at culture. This whole movement started with the 90s rave scene. That was the music that young people were listening to. So we'll do that music because they'll listen to that, and then we can talk to them about the gospel, or our lyrics can be about the gospel. Very simple. It's not rocket science, but at the same time, we are pushing and making sure, you know, we found something that works. Music evangelism, or creative arts evangelism, strong communication evangelism. We found that these things connect together. So it's simply a matter of connecting those two. And God sends us, you know, we didn't ask for a pop punk band necessarily. We didn't ask for a hip hop act. God sends us people at the right time who we, you know, connect with, whether it's through Message Academy or some other. And, you know, there's a sense, I don't sit down with a big plan and say, right, you know, I want a hip hop band by this time and a dance band here. And often it comes at the right time. We're just praying for God to send us people, and he sends us the right people with the right, you know, at the right time. Yeah. Does that sort of answer it?
Yeah.
Or no, he's shaking his head. Yeah. Go again if you want.
So is it less that we change and more that we stick with what we're at
this time? Yeah. I mean, I think we have a culture where people try to be cool. I hate that. Because the gospel and the Bible is cool. And I keep telling the teams, you can dictate cool. It's not you have to try and change to fit in with something that's going on in the world. Once the world sees the gospel lived out authentically, it's attractive, right? It's dangerously attractive. You can't help be drawn. You couldn't help but be drawn to Jesus. That's why thousands of people came running to him, because he was attractive. Why was he attractive? Because God was there. And that's really the formula. I don't want to be trying to fit into the world's way of doing things. I want to be doing what the Bible says. I want to be living authentically Christian. And that means me being who I am, which means I have certain gifts. So what do? I develop those gifts to the maximum that I possibly can. If I'm a pianist, that means I go have piano lessons. I learn up to grade 8. I smash it as much as I can with my gift development. But at the same time, I am on my knees before God, and I'm developing my faith. And how do I do that? By spending more time with God. Then I connect the two. That's power. Because that's me being put on this earth to do what I'm supposed to do, uniquely me. And when the world see it, they'll go, oh, that's amazing. I want to be around that. Is that more of an idea? So no, I don't think we will be changing. I don't want to be chasing culture. I want to be doing, when people come in front of me, oh, you've got that gifting, you've got that gifting, you've got that gifting. Right, okay, how can we put those giftings together to reach the lost? So there's an element which we keep one ear on culture, because it's important, I guess, to be relevant. But I don't want to be chasing culture. Does that kind of help? Maybe we should chat afterwards if it's not helping you.
Yeah. What I would say, which is really good, having Tim heading up creative development, is that he wants to be excellent at what is good because he's representing Christ. So he wants the bands to be the best that they can be. But actually, he will always be known for character over gifting. And it's more important that the people who are in the bands have the right character, the right attitude, that they can be Christ-like in their demeanor, in the words that they use, and how they are role models. Because we're working in a generation where you put yourself on the stage, kids will worship you.
Right.
And if the bands are only going to get followers because they're worshipping them because of their music, we failed. So we've got to be Christ-like. We've got to be little Jesuses that are saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think as long as Tim is doing that or passing that down, that actually it's your character over gifting. Yeah, we're going to work on your gifting. We want you to be the best so we can be excellent and represent God well. But as long as we're directing to Christ every step of the way.
Great. We need to finish there, but please stick around. Oh, go on then. One quick one.
How do you maintain creative flow and stop getting blocks?
Yeah, that's a good question. Don't know. Come and tell me if you got the answer. How do you stop getting creative blocks? It's a really good question, because a lot of the guys who are in the teams who are here will experience creative block, where they've got writer's block or whatever. They can't write a song. Oh, what am I supposed to write about? Or they hit a creative wall. I think that's part of the process. How do we break through that? For me, we keep going back to the Word. We keep going back to God, because we get That's where our inspiration comes from. That's where our creativity. There's certain topics that motivate. So kids will always be struggling with self-image. So there's start there. Start, you know, with some Bible passages. Dig into that. Go and seek God. What does God want to say on that topic? Get some fresh inspiration. That's something that, you know, would always encourage our guys to do. I don't think we'll ever not have times when it's difficult creatively and we hit walls. But I think that's why the community of the message is so great as well, because we're always sharpening each other, bouncing creative ideas off each other. There's a lot of cross-pollination between the teams in terms of musical and creative giftings. That really works and keeps a lot of it fresh. All right.
Yeah, cool. And when it comes to actually the with music and actually the beats and riffs and catchy melodies and stuff like that, work with other people, be in unity. You know, unity commands a blessing. You know, we're very fortunate. We know so many people. Hang out with other musicians. Hang out. Go on courses. You know, I do multimedia presentations. A lot of it's on sexuality. So our team is hooked into Esteem Network in London because they are the professionals at supporting young people in positive relationships. Let's learn from each other. Don't feel like we've got to be precious and only I can do this, because then we're going to broaden our horizon. And who knows what that partnership will grow into as well.
We should finish there because you need to go and get a hot drink.
Brilliant.
And then you go to the next seminar, don't you?
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.